Hi, I'm Wes Gorospe, and we are Songs of Scripture, is our ministry. This is part two of the summary of singing the scriptures, and the actual subject of this particular part is the joy and triumph of singing songs of scripture. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a summary of last week. But before I do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us your word, Lord God, and your word is true. Lord, thank you that we can rely on your word. And thank you, Lord God, that when we sing your word, Lord God, you attend your word with such power. So, Lord, as we look into singing your scriptures tonight, I pray, Father God, that you would bless each one of us here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So in summary from last week, we talked about Jesus was joyful and triumphant, like we all want to be. And ourselves, it's our tongue that gets us in trouble. And that's what kind of throws us off our game. Jesus gave us the authority over the devil, and the devil tries to lie and steal that authority from us. Here's the problem. We let him do it by cursing ourselves with our tongues. But the word of God is powerful to build faith and to heal and to deliver. And when we know and we use the word, and when we when we say the word and keep the word in our hearts, it allows us to the strength to keep our authority from being stolen by the devil. And singing the word helps us keep our hearts and our minds in alignment with God's word. Last week we sang the scripture, he sent his word and healed us and delivered us from our destructions, from Psalm 107. And maybe we can try it again. Remember, we just did it in a monotone, and I'll sing, and you guys can sing too, okay? It's, he sent his word, and he healed us, and delivered us from our destruction. He sent his word and healed us, and delivered us from our destruction. He sent his word and healed me, and delivered me from my destruction. He sent his word and healed me, and delivered me from my destruction. Singing the word is as simple as that. It's just taking the scripture and singing it back to him. And, you know, you can just do it with one note like that. Or you can do it with, you can make up your own melodies like so many of us do. I've done that with a lot of scripture and created songs from it. So this week, what I want to talk about is in singing the word. I want to give you a little bit of a testimony of what my singing coach told me years ago. He said, sing from your diaphragm. And so if you don't know what your diaphragm is, this in here. He said, sing from your diaphragm because it makes a fuller and more powerful sound. So this week I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me about that. He said, the Lord told me, when we sing the word from our diaphragm, it's even more powerful because out of your belly is flowing rivers of living water. So the Spirit is attending his word from our diaphragm. This is where out of your belly shall flow. And the second thing that the Lord showed me is that when we're singing the scriptures, that it's the washing of the water of the word. So we can wash ourselves, we can be more powerful, but we can also wash others with the word. Singing is such a powerful weapon. In the Old Testament, there was a king named Jehoshaphat. Back in 2 Chronicles, it talks about how Jehoshaphat was facing three different armies, the Moabites and different ites. And in facing those armies, the people went to prayer. And then the Lord told Jehoshaphat, I will fight this battle for you, but I want the singers to go first into the battle. And what the Lord was showing in that scripture, as well as in Psalm 68, where they put the singers in front of the army. And by the way, the Lord won the battle for them. They didn't even have to fight. The battle was won by the time they got to the battlefield. What the Lord was saying in that is that there's power in worship, and not only do we recognize that power, but He recognizes the power, and He gives us that tool which we can use to fight the enemy, even though He is the one that's really fighting our battle for us. So when we look at this, you know, being in an army, fighting the battle through songs of scripture, one thing we need to do is we need to have the mindset of a soldier, of being in the army of God. This is so important because if an army is united and all of the members of the army are united, everybody has each other's back, everybody knows what they're doing, everybody is engaged in what they're supposed to be doing, the results can be devastating to their enemy. But on the contrary, if the army is undisciplined, and if the army, let's say that certain parts of the army decide that, well, I don't want to engage today. I don't want to be part of the army today. Then what can happen then is just the opposite, is that you can be, the result would be terribly disappointing and can be terribly devastating to the army and to yourself. And so what God wants us to do is God wants us to be engaged. Think about a sports team. We just finished the Final Four at the basketball tournament. And you look at those guys, and everybody has a role, but these are the championship players. And everybody is engaged in the battle. So if you're not engaged in the battle, then chances are, or let's say that you disengage. Let's say that you decide, okay, I'm on the team, but I'm going to take a couple of plays off. I'm not going to engage during the second quarter or whatever. Chances are you're not going to be on a winning team. Chances are that by you not engaging in the warfare, in the battle, in the game, that the whole team is going to suffer because of it. You know, and unfortunately, this happens too often. Sometimes we ask the question, why are the results from foreign nations, you know, the spiritual results from missions in foreign nations, why are the results so much greater than they are here at home in the U.S.? Why is that? And I would venture to say that has to do with engagement, has to do with non-participation. Because if, you know, in any sport, in any battle. Everybody has to have each other's back. You know, when you talk to a soldier that has just come back from a battle, they will always tell you, you know, that the most important thing is I know that I have her back and I know that she has my back, you know, and so that I can do what I'm supposed to do and don't have to worry about what's going on behind me. You know, and unfortunately, in many cases, that is not the case. There's too much non-participation going on. Whereas Jesus said, if we can agree, if two or three or four or five or 10 or 12 can agree as touching anything, you know, and be engaged in it, you know, great things can happen. Great things can happen. And I think, you know, in many of these other countries, I think the hunger for the move of God is so much more desperate than here because things are good here, you know, but, you know, we can go to doctors and this kind of, but some of those places don't have doctors, and so they're desperate for God, and God shows up. God shows up. So the idea is in engaging with the word and engaging in song, you know, we have to ask ourselves, am I going to be a spectator or am I going to be a participant? Am I going to engage, you know, in whatever it is God is calling us to? Are we engaging in that? You know, as Psalm 1 says, we delight in the word. He delights in the law day and night. Day and night. You know, it says we can make melody in our heart. Another place in Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. Another place in the Scripture says, pray without ceasing. Now, all of these activities, praying without ceasing or rejoicing in the Lord always, these are things that help us to overcome mediocrity. You know, and if we want to be, as the title of this teaching is, if we want to be joyful, triumphant, overcoming Christians, you know, have joyful, overcoming lives, then we need to not be mediocre in our approach to God. We need to be like the guy in Psalm 1 that says, I'm diving, I'm all in, you know, day and night, I'm going to be engaging with the Lord, with the word, you know. And this is a thing that we need to do on a regular basis. Now, we can always choose not to do that, but I wouldn't suggest that. I would suggest you go all in, you know. Singing the word is just one tool in our tool belt. You know, there are a lot of tools in the tool belt, but singing the scripture especially is just one tool in the tool belt. And the thing about singing the scripture is that it can jumpstart everything else that you do. If you engage in singing scripture, putting the scripture on your mouth, engaging with it, it will help everything else. You know, your reading of the scripture, your moving in the power of the Spirit, all of these things will be easier if you sing scripture. I found that to be true. The best way I know of, really, to be a joyful, triumphant, overcoming saint is to sing scripture. That's just my own testimony about that. And that's why we record and write and sing scripture, because we're hoping that everyone that hears these things will say, oh yeah, you know, I want to do that. I want to sing scripture too. It's so encouraging. The Psalm 89 says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known to all generations. And in Psalm 32, it says, you surround me with songs of deliverance. You surround me with songs of deliverance. You know, the cool thing about songs of scripture is that it helps you remember the scripture itself. Singing music, it's been proven that singing music stimulates more parts of your brain than any other human activity. You know, not all music does that. It's also been proven that if you subject yourself to heavy metal music, it'll actually destroy parts of your brain. Serious, you know. It's been proven, you know. And so the opposite, you know, obviously you want to subject yourself to the right music and the word. Think about David back in 1 Samuel when King Saul was just being tormented by an evil spirit. What did they do? They called David, and David came and played his harp. You know, and it says that then relief would come to Saul. He would feel refreshed, and the tormenting spirit would leave him. My guess is that he was probably singing psalms too, as well as playing the harp, you know. So what science tells us is that on the left side of the brain is where words flow from. So that's the logic. On the right side of the brain is where music happens. So that's the creative part. In the back of the brain is where the melodies and the rhythm comes from to put it all together. That's the organization. And in the front of the brain is the emotion. That's where you feel the music. So every single part of your brain is functioning together. And the Lord was showing me that when we put music to the word, it is, you know, all parts of your brain are functioning and is so powerful. It'll just transform you. The scripture says that in Romans 12, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, this is one way that you can renew your mind, by singing scripture. You know, in Hebrews, it says that the word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, penetrating, even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, if you think about that scripture, it's talking about the spirit, the soul, and the body. What he's saying is that my word will penetrate every part of your being and change you. So when we think about singing the word, think about Jesus being the word. Okay? John chapter 1 says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and then the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Well, if Jesus is the word, and we're singing the word, and the word is living and dividing stuff and organizing stuff in our lives and penetrating every part of us, spirit, soul, and body, then you couple that with Holy Spirit, because you know the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, and so wherever the Word is, wherever Jesus is a Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's all these benefits, you know. And when you're seeing the Word, it becomes a part of you. It's the easiest way that I know of to apprehend all the benefits. I mean, he sent his word and healed them, delivered them from all their destructions. You know, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And you sing the scriptures, you know, you get faith, you know. And the Spirit attends the word, and so you get liberty, freedom at the same time. Spiritual growth, you name it, the benefits are beyond comparing. And it's all there. Just singing scripture. So, kind of running out of time here. I'm taking up your time. But I think one testimony I wanted to leave with you was, I had a friend of mine that was severely tormented in her mind. And she, she would go off the rails. And I would tell her, think of a scripture. As soon as you feel yourself losing control, think of a scripture. God has not given me a spirit of fear. Greater is he that is in me. Think of a scripture and immediately start saying that. Start saying that. And she said, you know, when she started doing that, what she's doing is she's, the devil is giving her these thoughts, these awful thoughts. And she's replacing those thoughts with the word of God. And she said, you know, when I did that, I would gain back control. And I found that to be true in my own life. You know, when things start going off the rails, that I can go back and think about. A lot of times I'll remember one of my scripture songs and start singing it to myself. Sometimes in the middle of the night. Sometimes, you know, I'm anxious and I can't sleep, and then, like, I'm thinking about, my mind's going crazy. And I'll just start thinking about, you know, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, you know. And I sing my songs to myself. I couldn't do that for a long time, but I learned how to do it, especially driving back and forth to UCLA. You know, when we need, you know, the trial was so great, we needed the greatness of God and his word to overcome that. So, all in all, you know, what I want to leave you with is the importance of you discovering the power of singing the word. You know, and you don't have to have a great voice. You know, if you need help, just put on one of my CDs and listen and sing that song. You know, greater is he that is in me. Or you know, tonight at the end, we're going to sing, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Okay? Lynn's going to share now.
Hello. You know, what just came to mind is many years ago, we always played the scripture songs in the house, and our daughter was about 6 years old at the time, and we had just moved into a townhome, and there was a little 5-year-old that was always walking around the streets, and it's gated, but I still thought she's too young to be just walking around by herself. And so she attached herself to my daughter, Nikki. And so I went and I told her, Mom, you know, is it all right if we have her come in the house? And she said, oh yeah, sure. And so when she came in the first time, the CD was playing, we always had it playing, and she said, oh, do you have God music? And I thought that was, I just kind of like, Yeah, I guess we do, yeah. And so the two of them, I can always remember the two of them dancing and singing the scripture songs. And this little girl had a very tough upbringing, and she had a tough household. And she was coming over, she just wanted to come over all the time and sing and dance the scriptures. And she said, my mommy won't let me have a Bible and won't let me have any God music, but I really want God music. And so we bought her CDs and bought her a Bible, and my daughter was doing a Bible study with her all the time. And I just saw this little girl, she accepted the Lord, and she became free. You prayed for her. You prayed for this little girl. And I just saw the heart of a young one wanting the Lord and wanting to know more. She wanted to know scripture, and so she began memorizing scriptures. That just came to mind when you were saying that. So tonight as I was preparing for this, I was asking the Lord, we really want to talk about corporate worship tonight. Last week we talked about our individual time with the Lord and singing scriptures to strengthen our spirit and the intimacy with the Lord. So I want to get to what we bring when we come to church on Sunday or when we gather together and we worship the Lord as a group. But first, the Lord was talking to me about repentance, and I said, well, you know, everybody here knows that. But the Lord said, I mean, it's, you've heard it. Pastor teaches it really well. I don't know what to say. And the Lord said to just all of us to just receive a fresh revelation. So, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to flow through me. I am yielded to you tonight, Lord. And I ask you to give us fresh revelation of repentance. So singing scripture and singing in tongues sustains our prayer time. Instead of vain repetitions, we connect to the Lord in a deeper way. So I find as we humble ourselves, repentance is just a natural response to being in the presence of the Lord. When Wes was talking about going to UCLA, one of the experiences I had in the very beginning of our daughter's diagnosis, I was driving on the 101 and, of course, singing scripture, praying scripture, and asking the Lord for this miraculous healing. And the Lord said, I want to talk about what's in your heart. And I was thinking, what now? we're just asking for this miracle for our daughter. And I'm just focused on that miracle, what I want from the Lord. And God said, can we talk about what's going on in your heart? And I thought, Lord, I'm so traumatized by this. I don't think I could do that right now. I don't think I want to dig up all that, all the sin and past traumas. I don't think I could do that. And he said, will you trust me? And I said, yes. And so it began this talk, this dialogue with the Lord, this deep presence of the Lord, where I began to be repentant. Anything the Lord showed me, I was trying to deal with it. And of course, in the beginning, I thought, I don't know that I could carry this burden if I start digging down deep into the, you know, all the muck. But what I found is that Jesus wanted it. He wanted it out of there. He wanted to heal it. And he wanted to bring his light to it. Holy Spirit was revealing things to me so that I could repent and I could be stronger, so that I could carry what he had to give me, so I could hear his voice more clearly, so that I could go on and not be weary in this. It seems like such a simple practice to sing, but yet when our hearts are heavy, when they're burdened, I find it's really challenging to make my body sing. And I don't know that I have the answer for all of us to how do we get from that place of being discouraged or weighted down and just do it. Just do it. And I sometimes start very feebly, but I begin to get, you know, more wholeness, more free, And of course, then I can sing out. So Heavenly Father, we pray for, tonight I pray for a fresh baptism of your love. We want to surrender every part of our heart to you and enable you to illuminate those things. Holy Spirit, come and illuminate those things in our heart that we should put on the cross. Thank you for filling us with your words so we become worshipers in spirit and truth. And thank you for the washing of the water of the word. So we had the trial. We still are believing for our daughter's full restoration, full healing, full recovery. We still stand on that. But in the trial, there were many difficulties in not just her being hospitalized and having a diagnosis of a life-threatening disease, but all the other things that happened with it. The enemy wanted to come in and interfere in our marriage. The enemy wanted to interfere in our finances. The enemy, we had car accidents, totaled our car. There were just several things of life that were happening at the same time. Wes's father was battling cancer. You know, just there were a lot of things happening all at the same time. So what do we do when there's a lot of things coming against us at the same time? And I found that I had to surrender. I had to find God in that trial. And I had to let him lead me through it. I had to ask him, what are you trying to show me? What do I need to know about who you are? How do I become like you? How do I allow you to be my strength when I'm this weak? And I found that we're here to be trained. We're here, our training is to reign with Jesus. And the suffering is part of that. And so it was difficult watching our 12-year-old suffering and not understanding. And being young in the Lord, knowing, I mean, she was on fire for the Lord, and this was confusing to her. But we found that worship was the key. Wes brought his guitar to the hospital. We would sing scripture songs. She would sing scripture songs. We'd read the word, and at the first hospital was Children's Hospital, and every other day, it was a you shared a room with another child, and every other day we had a new roommate. So we were praying for people. They were joining in to sing the scriptures with us. And the next day after she was hospitalized for the first time, a whole family accepted the Lord. And so we just kind of went on this journey with the Lord. It was painful. It was difficult. But we saw God in it. And we allowed him to work through us. It became a ministry. I think that's kind of where this started. So we'd walk the halls and we'd sing, and the nurses would say, "Why is it so calm? Why are no babies are crying? Why?" You know. And then eventually the nurses would say, "I'm going to be in Nikki's nurse today. I'm going to be in that room." They could feel and sense the Spirit of the Lord. And we still had a lot of challenges. We had a lot of questions. We had a lot of decisions to make that were uncomfortable, we didn't want to make. But they were there, and the Lord was leading us through every day. We just had to be fully dependent on him each day. So we have challenges and adversity while we're here on earth. And as we face our cross, my question to you is, will we continue? Will we surrender to God and walk through the cross to the resurrection side where we find everything we need? What do we need to let go of so that we can hold the triumph, the victory, and the blessing? Because that's what God wants to give us. But if we're encumbered with so much, we can't hold the victory and the blessing. Our hearts and our spirits need to meet God's heart and his spirit in worship before we do the work that we're called to do. So as we're reigning with Christ, I believe we have to be trained to spend that time with the Lord. We need to fill our hearts and our minds with the Word and spend time in the secret place so that we know God so well that whatever we ask in His name, it will be done, that we have the faith to believe that it will be done. As we represent Jesus by loving the Father and abiding in His love, power comes from the Holy Spirit, and our Father is glorified. I can remember, you know, before the Lord asked me what's in my heart and to give it to Him, I was quoting scriptures. I was singing scriptures, but I wonder if that was just a religious thing, if I just knew to do that, if my heart was really in the place of connecting with the Lord and truly worshiping the Lord and His word, or if I was just doing anything I could think in my power to get my result. And so I really had to take a look at that, look at my heart, and, you know, you have to connect with the Lord. And then I could sing the scripture. Only after I repented could I sing with authority. Could I sing with faith? Could I sing with love? Lord, no matter what the outcome, I still love You. I still trust You. My hope is in You. So Lord, we pray, Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever, amen. And Lord, as we are learning to behold You, and You're training us to reign with You here on earth, I think of 2 Corinthians. With our unveiled face, we're beholding You as in a mirror, Your glory, and that we are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. I thank You, Lord. I thank You for Your word. So as we spend this time with the Lord individually, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I would imagine it has. You come to church on Sunday, and you've been praying all week. You've been connecting with the Lord. You've been worshiping on your own. Your heart is full. And as soon as you walk through the door, that's one of the reasons we came to Jubilee. We saw that people came through the door ready to worship. The worship team didn't have to, like, get us through a lot of stuff. We were engaged as soon as we walked through the door. And I love that about Jubilee. And I think that if we can keep our flame, if we can keep our light bright during the week, that when we come together in corporate worship, there's transformation, more transformation. The light becomes so brilliant. There's healings just in worship, just in our time of singing scripture together. I feel, again, like God's army, that there's so much power, and God is asking us to be worshipers. And we become like the one that we worship. I think of the unity that comes, and I think of our children when they're all getting along, when they're all like playing a game and they get along, or they're all singing and they're all singing the same song and they get along. I think God looks at His children when we're in corporate worship, and He just loves that we are now coming into His presence. We're seeing things from His perspective. He's revealing things to us. We're receiving it, and we're joined together in unity. I believe as worship is restored on the earth, it will restore the fellowship with the Father that was taken away in the Garden of Eden. And I believe that that is very, very important right now for us to reconnect with the Lord. I remember when I became born again, I could relate to Jesus. I could relate to Holy Spirit. I had a harder time relating to Father God. And my father had died when I was 10 years old. And there had been some trauma after that. His hospital stay, that was traumatizing to me. But I can remember one Sunday morning, we were here in church, corporate worship, and Father just completely healed my heart of that. And I, just in worship, and I didn't come here asking for that or seeking that, just the grace of God healed my heart, and I could now relate to Father God so much deeper. Now Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were, I guess equal is the best way to describe it. So I didn't have that fear. I have still a fear of God, but not this keeping God, Father God, at a distance. I could now relate. And I think things like that happen in worship. Corporate worship releases a sound that wholly expresses God's heart. We're in harmony. We experience a maturity, a strength, and a unity as we join our hearts to worship the Lord. We're in agreement with God's attributes. Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." I've never been disappointed after I leave worship. Never, never. I've come in disappointed, but I've never left disappointed. I've never left worship the same way that I came in. I've always been transformed. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we have a voice. We thank you that you're singing. You're teaching us to sing and sing a new song. We thank you for praise rising on the earth. We ask you to resurrect our personal and corporate worship. Increase and expand our time with you. Teach us more about kingdom life. Overwhelm us with your love. We choose to rest in you. And I pray that we would experience your righteousness, peace, and joy. I thank you, Father, that you would wash away all past traumas. As we repent, as you, Holy Spirit, reveal things to us, that we could easily bring them up. Now it's so easy to just sense that something's in my heart that shouldn't be there and repent, and you heal, and we go on. I pray that your love and joy and hope and faith would replace all the residual effects of our past trials, and that we go forward in this springtime season in the resurrection power and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as we conclude here, let me explain something about what, when we do this, it's like the agreement. This is an agreement of our body, and it makes a sound. When we agree together, when we worship corporately, singing scripture or whatever we're doing, it also makes a sound in the spirit. And it's a loud sound in the spirit. And, you know, early I was talking about being the army of God and how we need to be participants and engage and not be non-participants, because if we are non-participants, then it puts at risk the other members of the army, especially when we're in warfare. And we know that we're in warfare, spiritual warfare. So we need to engage. Now, singing scripture, singing in general, is kind of unnatural for a lot of people. It's a little bit scary for us. That's why so many people just are like this. Or maybe they're like this. You know, this, you know, could mean a lot of things. It doesn't have to mean you're worshiping. It may, could be you're surrendering. It could be that you're, you know, whatever. But to engage in singing, it takes faith. You have to step out of your comfort zone, you know, and God loves that. God loves when you step out of your comfort zone, you know. The best thing I can tell you when you do that is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, you know. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path, you know. So let's stand. And I want us to engage the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So I'm going to pick a note. Okay. God has, that's a better note. We're just going to sing one note, okay? But I want you to open your mouth by faith and sing to the Lord, okay? It's God has not given me a spirit of fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Is everybody doing it? Anybody not doing it? Raise your hand. Just kidding. Okay. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now take those words and really close your eyes and think about it. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Yeah, you know, and then you can go off. I mean, I wrote a whole song about that, you know, and we just sing that over and over and over. God has not given me a spirit of fear, you know, and when that's a song, that's a scripture that you can take and just meditate on it and just let it become part of your soul. And that's a scripture that you can grab onto in a time of need, because usually you need the scriptures when you're sinking, you know, when things are getting out of hand, and then you're kind of, you know, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, you know, and you can appropriate that for yourself. Okay? God bless you guys. Oh, by the way, we are Songs of Scripture Ministry, Wes and Lynn Gorosby, and I have a new CD coming out in a couple weeks called Life Changing Words. You'll love it.